Wake up, people. This is not a drill. Contagion risks are increasing due to potential global stagflation. The intrinsic value of Bitcoin has increased from the beginning of this year, when I originally calculated the value to be over $150,000 per coin. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, your professor this evening in all studies that pertain to the School of Satoshi. I am the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know, and we are diving into another read today. This one came highly recommended by you guys. Thank you so much for that, by the way. I probably wouldn't have caught this one. This is by Greg Foss. And it's sort of an extension of his far more thorough paper on it. It's titled Why Every Fixed Income Investor Needs to Consider Bitcoin. And it's actually on the vote page. A number of you have actually upvoted already. So I will be making an audio version for you guys of that one soon. But it is 40 pages, so it'll be a bit. If you want that to come quicker, I'll prioritize that. Just upvote it on bitcoinaudible.com/vote. But I'm sure you guys know the fire that is Greg Foss by now. But if not, definitely follow him at on Twitter at FossGregFoss. So links to that in the show notes. Now, I want to do a short breakdown of some ideas that he covers before we actually get into the read. Just knowing how much I kind of had issues with some of this financial jargon over a decent span of time. I think I'm just going to explain and kind of define, hopefully clearly, a few of the concepts just so that you have a little bit of repetition before Foss uses them in this article. And he does actually define them, but like I said, it's just easy to get confused with financial jargon. But before we do that, let's go ahead and thank our lovely sponsors. I have literally got the peak Bitcoin team on this show now. First, we have Swan Bitcoin. So I was watching a video today, actually, on Twitter of the disaster of dealing with Coinbase with a couple that got SIM swapped and account drained of 21 Bitcoin. This is why you use Bitcoin only. Swan Bitcoin is an automatic Bitcoin savings plan. Delete Coinbase. Buy at swanbitcoin.com/guy. Now, Swan is my highest volume way to stack, but the most fun way to stack is Fold. I have the Fold Spin Plus card, as they call it, and I get sats back on literally everything. So I bought three copies. I tweeted about this, actually. I bought three copies of the El Salvador Bitcoin Day paper. I got 16,000 sats back. That's $8, more than $8, actually, in sats. Get 20% off the yearly fee by going to guyswan.com/fold. And you want to pay attention to that one, guyswan.com/fold, 20% off. If you forget that one, you deserve to lose the discount. The other stupid thing that couple did with Coinbase was keeping 21 freaking Bitcoin on an exchange. If they had listened to Guy Swan, it would have been safe on a freaking BitBox. I hate these stories because they are so preventable. And the BitBox is not hard to use. It just isn't. These morons could have set one up, gotten 5% off with my discount code GUY, G-U-Y, that's not hard to remember. And if you have got that much corn, please, Jesus, get a BitBox. And lastly, Bitcoin Magazine is hosting the glorious Bitcoin 2022 this year in April, beginning of April. That is going to get here so freaking fast. Get your tickets now, before prices go up, and get a 10% discount. And all you have to do is punch in the code GUYSWAN. That's got two N's, by the way. GUYSWANN. Go to the site or hit my redirect at guyswan.com/2022 and get 10% off those tickets. And I will see you there, ladies and gents. Okay, so a quick pre-cap before this article, really the only thing I really want to define, I think, is what the hell is a credit default swap? So he describes it that it's, you know, basically insurance and uses it in this article in that context. And it kind of sounds like that's an abstraction and you're still just hearing credit default swap, credit default swap, but it's actually completely accurate. This is how it is used. And it's actually the most common credit derivative that there is. It's like 80% or 90% or something like that of the credit derivative market last I saw. So, let's just break this down with an example to make it simple. So you lend some money to me. You have $100,000, then you lend me $100,000, and I'm going to invest it in some shit coins because, you know, frankly, you're an idiot and you think I'm going to be able to pay this money back with interest. But then you realize you really don't know anything about shit coins, and the shitcoin market is kind of like a psychotic clown show, and now you start to get nervous. So you decide to go to Lehman Brothers because they're a large and trustworthy institution, and you are going to buy a credit default swap. They're going to issue one on my loan. They assess my risk, and just like all those mortgages that they are holding on to, everything looks A-OK because they are a big shitcoin fans, and they issue a CDS, a credit default swap, to you for, say, $2,000. That's 2% or 200 basis points on the $100,000. Now, this means that if I default on the loan, they agree to pay back the $100,000 plus any interest left on my loan that I had to pay to you. But if not, they just get to pocket $2,000. And since they know crypto is the future, all good, son. They're going to sell those credit default swaps like they are candy to every lender that they can find, just like all of their giant mortgage buckets that they are selling credit default swaps to as well, or on as well. So this means that you are going to get a lot less from me in interest payments, but you have a lot less risk. You know, if Lehman Brothers doesn't go out of business, which why would they? They're such a huge, trustworthy institution. You basically are capping your potential losses at $2,000. Now, that's it in a nutshell. That is a credit default swap. It is insurance on the fact that if I just peace out and I can't pay you anything, you're going to get the remainder of the contract paid by Lehman Brothers. So with that, I think this is basically all I need to cover. Let's get into Greg Foss's great little article on grasping what Bitcoin really is and actually calculating its value in the context of its role in our global financial environment. This is gonna be good. And it is titled, The Intrinsic Value of Bitcoin, Calculated Using Sovereign Credit Default Swaps. Bitcoin is incredibly cheap, considering it provides insurance on the U.S. financial structure, as well as all fiat currencies around the world. Written by Greg Foss. I reference my thesis on the intrinsic value of Bitcoin in this piece, link provided, originally published in Bitcoin Magazine in April of 2021. It represents my view on the value of Bitcoin as the anti-fiat. Fiat is the Ponzi, and how everyone needs insurance against the Ponzi collapsing. As Voltaire famously said, paper money eventually returns to its intrinsic value, zero. As Charlie Munger famously said, Bitcoin is rat poison squared. Well, Charlie, have your pill, because fiat is the rat. The basis of my paper is that Bitcoin is insurance on the decaying credit quality of fiat-issuing sovereign nations. As such, it is credit protection on a basket of fiats. When you own insurance, you own volatility. Similarly, when you are long credit, you are short volatility. Most assets and investment mandates are short volatility. Accordingly, the investing world is short volatility, and it desperately needs to offset that risk with insurance, or being long volatility. In my paper, I calculated the intrinsic value of Bitcoin at the then current credit default swap CDS rate and total liabilities of the G20 nations. This dynamic calculation will increase in value as the price of the insurance increases. An increase in the price of insurance is reflected in a widening of CDS spreads. Well, spreads have widened for a number of reasons. For example, China CDS has widened due to the contagion from the Evergrande fallout. Canada CDS has widened because we have irresponsible politicians who have just been re-elected, yet they, quote, don't care about monetary policy. And US CDS has widened because, well, there are four or five reasons, but the most concerning is that the political elite are playing word games with the potential of defaulting. Wake up, people. This is not a drill. Contagion risks are increasing due to potential global stagflation. See the excellent article by Dylan LeClaire and Sam Rule published in Deep Dive issue 72. The intrinsic value of Bitcoin has increased from the beginning of this year when I originally calculated the value to be over $150,000 per coin. I am going to take a different tack this time. I will run through the calculation of the value of Bitcoin on just the US financial situation. You will see that the market cap of Bitcoin should be far in excess of $1 trillion. What that says is that you are effectively getting default insurance on the US at a discount to intrinsic value, and you are getting protection on all the other fiats for free. Is it any wonder why I believe Bitcoin to be the best asymmetric investment opportunity I have seen in my 32 years of trading risk? Giddy up! The methodology. 5-year credit default swaps for the US just traded at 17 basis points. For the common person, this esoteric measure means that it costs $17,000 to insure 10 million of US Treasury debt against default. Remember that in 2006, it cost $9,000 to insure $10 million of Lehman Brothers debt against default. That insurance contract became very valuable, since when Lehman finally did default, the contract was worth over $6 million. The sellers of Lehman Brothers protection were picking up nickels in front of a steamroller. Are the current sellers of US credit default swaps doing the same? I don't believe there will be a short-term default by the United States. The cost would be astronomical. However, the kids are playing games. Yellen is dangerous in her lack of understanding of true risk markets. Powell is a well-intentioned lawyer who has never sat in a risk chair. These are our leaders, and their pristine backgrounds don't cut it within the trading pits. Remember, you don't have to experience a default in order to make money on the change in spreads in a credit default swap contract. The mark-to-market function will account for the wider spreads, and you could close out the contract in advance of the 5-year maturity and make a profit. Adjusting the credit default swap contract for a 20-year term. If 5-year CDS is at 17 basis points, what would 20-year CDS trade at if it was a freely traded contract? Note, in my paper I used a 15-year CDS term, but have since reconsidered the necessity to have longer-term insurance. The value of small, incremental annual tenor changes would bring in longer-term buyers. Moreover, if the US was smart, it would drastically increase its average term of debt issuance. If the ducks are quacking, you should feed the ducks. And it sure seems like there are a lot of foolish bond investors who are picking up nickels in front of the steamroller. In order to get to that number, you need to do a tenor calculation. This is a somewhat finger-in-the-air exercise, but here it goes. 5-year CDS costs 17 basis points, or 3.5 basis points per year. If we effectively do a linear regression on extending the credit default swaps to a 20-year term, the cost would be 70 basis points per year. My gut tells me it would be wider due to all of the variables that the US and the world will face over the next 20 years. In fact, I am pretty sure I would get lifted on an offer of 20-year credit default swaps on the US at 100 basis points per annum, if anyone would take FOSS as counterparty risk, which is unlikely. Thus, for the sake of argument, let's say that 20-year US credit default swaps is between 70 basis points and 100 basis points per annum. The current funded and unfunded obligations of the United States. According to the excellent website usdebtclock.org, total funded plus unfunded liabilities of the U.S. exceed $29 trillion plus $158 trillion. This monumental total of close to $190 trillion needs to be multiplied by the 20-year credit default swap premium to calculate an intrinsic value of insurance on the United States. $190 trillion times 70 basis points is $1.33 trillion. $190 trillion by 100 basis points is $1.9 trillion. Now what? The current market cap of Bitcoin. Using my favorite Bitcoin dashboard, bitbo.io, created by two really solid Canadians, Chris Gimmer and Mark Chouinard. The trading market cap of Bitcoin, as of this writing, just inched past $1 trillion, at a price of $54,700 per coin. How to interpret the results? If you compare the current market cap of Bitcoin to the value of insurance on total U.S. liabilities, $1.33 trillion to $1.9 trillion, Bitcoin is clearly cheap for providing protection on the United States alone. And you get protection on all other failing fiats for free. Good golly, Miss Molly. Markets can be irrational, and in my opinion, Bitcoin is far too cheap. Yes, current prices are a rounding error compared to my long-term target price, but this methodology gives me comfort that we are still so early. How are your hedges doing, Charlie? And hedges are not just for gardeners. Buckle up. Volatility is gurgling. Buy your insurance when it is cheap. Bitcoin is insurance on crumbling fiat credit quality with no counterparty risk. The United States will likely be the last fiat to fail. But ultimately, all fiats fail. Hat tip, Voltaire. All right, love this one, and there's a lot to unpack in this concept. I just kind of want to rearticulate these ideas and explain why I think he's completely right on some of these elements, and something that he doesn't quite stress in this article, but I think is a huge freaking deal. But real quick, let's hit today's main sponsor, and we will jump back in on Guy's take. So, I mentioned those sad Coinbase users earlier. This is why I tell people to skip the crypto casinos and just get an automatic Bitcoin-only savings plan. Not only does it massively shrink the attack surface to go with something like Swan Bitcoin, but the company is totally and completely focused on one thing: automatic Bitcoin purchases and withdrawals. They give good advice for security issues, and they encourage you to withdraw. They will literally pay the fee for you. And if you go with Swan Private for, you know, the higher net worth individuals like the poor schmucks who made the dumb decision to use Coinbase, they will walk you through setting up a hardware wallet and answer questions with access directly to their team so that that doesn't happen. If this is your retirement, your life savings, please do not threaten it by throwing it around on an exchange that doesn't care if you bet all of your money on Dentacoin or leave it in their wallets for 2 years. SwanBitcoin.com/guy is exactly the service you need. No fuss, automatically stack Bitcoin, automatically withdraw to your keys, and that makes me a happy, safe stacker. All right, so getting back into this article. Calculating, I really like this idea of trying to break down or at least understand from one viewpoint what Bitcoin is. Because one of the most profound values of Bitcoin, we just talked about this, Greg Voss kind of brought this idea up when we were in the Twitter spaces earlier tonight with him and Aaron Siegel, when we were talking about, or they were talking about the Revenge of the Nodes episode, or excuse me, the article that Aaron Siegel wrote that I have on part one and part two on the show. Really, really great piece. And it's going to be a whole series. But they were just kind of talking about all the different ideas, the centralization of the traditional markets, and the incredible systemic risk that continues to build and build on itself through the ever-leveraging of the system. And I love Greg Voss's perspective, and his paper on this is great, and that's why I want to read it on the show at some point here. It's just a thing to tackle, really. But that the perspective of every fixed income investor needs to have a hedge. And one of the most powerful hedges of Bitcoin is that it is not tied to the systemic risk of a completely insolvent financial system. And that is the issue that we are dealing with. Now, there are so many people who simply cannot fathom that this is really happening. But it's funny, my conversations are changing. I am having people who cannot understand this at all. Friends of close friends and family members who I know of me. And, you know, every once in a while they'll ask me questions about Bitcoin, and they don't necessarily have Bitcoin, but they're always interested and I'm always willing to talk about it. And they will generally ask questions and stuff. But people who are definitely somewhere in the middle between, they kind of come from the normie sphere, but they're interested. They're like, what's this crazy psychotic place called Bitcoin? And what the hell are y'all doing over there? And maybe it is part of the future. It seems like it could be. But that's basically as far as they've gotten. I have had numerous people now who have basically been in that boat for a while come with questions to me from a perspective of, I think it's time I need to get a little bit of Bitcoin because I feel like something's broken. I feel like something is deeply wrong in the traditional system. Like in the mainstream, something is wrong. Now, they could not tell me the first thing about credit default swaps, about quantitative easing. They couldn't tell me about the infrastructure bill or exactly what the trillions of dollars in balances are. You know, they're not going to break down the $190 trillion unfunded liabilities and what those mean and what the demographics are as the boomers are all retiring here and the demographics of the people working versus the people who are living off of the system continue to actually balloon in the wrong direction. And you know, COVID, they're not going to break down this situation for me. They don't understand it, but they can tell me, they can look at me and they can say something is wrong. I don't know what it is, but I'm kind of scared. They have lost faith and trust in the system. And I think it's mostly because they're middle of the road, is because they've never had a really strong horse in the race that they thought was their horse. And they've just kind of seen all of this go off the rails. And now they feel like they have nothing to relate to. And I think it's important not to discount the number of people who are probably in that situation right now and how important Bitcoin could be in that field. And to consider, to think of Bitcoin not as, you know, the web of trust, the internet and the birth of trustworthy computing, not as a global payments network that can send billions of dollars of remittances in a matter of minutes for damn near nothing in fees. Not a money that can be accessed in every shit country and every shit corner of the world, even under the worst of capital controls. Not of an asset that is perfectly definable in 21 million and nothing else, but merely as a hedge, an insurance contract against the failure of fiat. As a credit default swap on sovereign debt. What is that? Everything else aside, what is that worth? Because that's calculable. We have a market price for a credit default swap on mortgage-backed securities, on bonds, on all of these other things. But see, here's the funny thing about Bitcoin, and here's the funny thing about credit default swaps as well, is, you know, let's say, I gave my example actually at the beginning of this show, that you gave me a loan and then attempted to buy credit default swaps from Lehman Brothers. They issued credit default swaps and you bought them from Lehman Brothers. So they were holding the bag of my loan if I defaulted on it. So what happens if Lehman Brothers goes out of business? Which obviously we saw. That's actually one of the big things that happened during the 2008-2009 crisis, is what one of the major things that caused the collapse of AIG, Lehman Brothers, and Bear Stearns was the incredible overexposure of credit default swaps. They had sold these against their shit mortgage-backed securities without ever checking to see if their mortgage-backed securities had anything of sensible mathematical value in them. And they're just absolutely full. They're giant, massive buckets of mortgages that nobody ever even checked. And Michael J. Burry checked on it. You know, if you've ever seen The Big Short, he just went through the numbers and he's like, wow, this is dog shit. And this had just grown up. This whole thing had festered in the financial markets. And because it was so easy to get leverage, it was so easy to get more credit, and mortgages were just trusted, why check them? If you could just batch them all together, well, then whatever degree of bad ones there are in here are just roped up into a giant bucket with enough good ones that it will never be a problem because mortgages are infinitely secure and they could never blow up. Lo and behold, they sold plenty of credit default swaps on these same mortgage-backed securities and mortgages and everything. And now they have massive, massive counterparty risk because they can't even fund the liabilities they promised. Not even close. And so what happens? They go out of business. And the ones that didn't go out of business only didn't because they got bailed out. Which, of course, only ensured that the practice continued indefinitely. That we just institutionalized the practice and the bailout so that the fraudulent and insolvent banking system could basically double down and do this all over again, rebubble the entire freaking system, drain the entire thing back into the financial and equities markets, and basically do this all over again at a much larger scale and in a much more abstract and absurd pricing market, just the gross over-financialization of everything. So what if you could get insurance on that? Well, here's the thing, is that if you're getting insurance, if you're buying a credit default swap on dollars, on sovereign debt and the potential of a fiat collapse, which we're seeing in mass right now, we're seeing Argentina, Cuba, Venezuela, Lebanon, Nigeria, Zimbabwe. The number of times that this has cascaded in the last 5-10 years, and I think we will continue to see this fall. I think these are the dominoes that we've talked about for years on this show even. And we'll go from the small fish, larger and larger and larger, to the bigger and bigger fish until all the debt and all the ownership and the value that is tied to these increasingly bigger fiat currencies affects even more so the banking and financial systems of the larger currencies, because we're all interconnected. We're all globally tied together. So, you know, some major bank has definitely got some investment in India or China or whatever. And as we, you know, start going up this ladder and bigger things, everybody's tied together. you just, the dominoes just fall. The dominoes fall. And Greg Foss even said in this piece, you know, the U.S. is likely to fall last. It'll likely be the fiat at the end of the line because it's the biggest domino. Everybody's deeply addicted. We're so systemically tied to the U.S. dollar that it is essentially part of the escape from all of the other ones. So how do you get paid out a credit default swap if you can't even trust the money that you're being paid out in? How do you hedge against a financial system when everything, the financial structure itself, is what you're trying to hedge against? I mean, you could put some gold bars under your bed, but meh, what good is that going to do you? This is why I think the very nature of having a monetary good, a digital monetary good at that, that is simply external, that is simply not part of the entire bloated, insolvent global financial system. It has its own foundation and its own structure. That alone is worth trillions of dollars. But to think that just a hedge, just as a CDS, and remember, CDSs aren't purchased because you think it's going to default. When Foss talks about this thing being a $1.3 to $1.9 trillion asset, he's just talking about it as the fact that credit default swaps are purchased as insurance. They are worth it just because it's separate, just because it's a hedge against the potential of default. Now, that might not be very high. And he even says in the short term, he does not expect the U.S. to default. But the shenanigans are going to continue. The insolvency is going to continue to get wider, to get broader, to affect more and more things. The vast majority of credit default swaps are just there as disaster insurance. They never get executed. It's just like insurance. Most insurance policies don't get claims during the year. Otherwise, the insurance wouldn't work. It wouldn't be worth the price, or the insurance company would go out of business. Obviously, Bitcoin doesn't quite work like that. But just in the idea, it's worth it even when it doesn't happen, because it could happen. He's talking about valuing Bitcoin at $1.9 trillion just because we know it is possible, increasingly so as time goes on, that the U.S. could default. Now, if you actually think it is going to default, that's a totally different story. That's a whole new magnitude of what it's worth. That's like the difference between the $17,000 CDS on $10 million versus after it's executed, it's worth $6 million of the $10 million. That's what we're talking about, what Bitcoin is actually worth, if you're in the pool of people like myself who thinks the dollar is just, the writing is on the wall, that the dollar is just doomed. That's why $1.9 trillion is actually a joke when you really look at the value of Bitcoin. And remember all the whole list of things that I mentioned just a little while ago that we are ignoring just to get to this foundation so that we can have a real calculation. And he's actually got a quote in here that I really love, because this is something to think about too when you're looking at the Bitcoin price at like $57,000, $56,000, whatever the hell it is, which is totally arbitrary because I mean, I think it's worth many multiples of this. That's why I'm buying the shit out of it on Swan or stacked like crazy on Fold. I am constantly trying to get Bitcoin, and I'm trying to earn Bitcoin. I'm trying to get other people to pay me in Bitcoin. And hopefully I'll actually be able to go 100%. I might get scared to go 100% at some point pretty soon. We'll see. But he's got this quote. So it says, remember, you don't have to experience a default in order to make money on the change in spreads in a CDS contract. The mark-to-market function will account for the wider spreads, and you could close out the contract in advance of the five-year maturity and make a profit. So what he's trying to get at here is that if you buy a CDS, it's not just suddenly worth everything versus nothing if the default happens. If the appearance or the risk of a default grows and the spread grows, the value of the CDS increases. And you can simply sell it, whether or not a default happens at all, for a profit. Which in our current market, when we're talking about just a default potential valuation from this perspective of Bitcoin being, you know, somewhere between $1.3 trillion and $1.9 trillion, again, not only does that exclude all the other things, but actually excludes all the countries, all the other countries in the world, it is literally just the US dollar. But when you look at it that way, you've got a deeply underpriced credit default swap. Just at the most basic valuation, it should essentially be worth more. And then when you add the potential, when you just start looking at the increasing dominoes falling of fiat currencies all around the world, Bitcoin is that hedge against all of them. You know, I even know some people, particularly at the Oslo Freedom Forum, I spoke to people who had friends and people even from Lebanon and from like some of these areas that are dealing with this. And it's a little bit eerie to talk to people who live under these situations. You're like, shit, you know, like it's always just a news reporter. It's like always at arm's length. It's like crazy that that's happening. I feel awful for those people over there, but it's abstract. But then you just have a conversation with someone who's like, yeah, this is some crazy ass shit that happened to me. Yeah, my bank closed down. I had access to nothing. Couldn't buy food for 6 days. And you're just like, holy shit, man. But Bitcoin is working in these places. Bitcoin is making a fundamental difference. Particularly in Lebanon, someone told me a story that damn near made me want to cry because he was talking about how he had listened to this, to my show, and started getting interested in Bitcoin like a year ago, and that they've actually been damn near, like, really pretty safe through this insane collapse. You know, that makes me feel like, holy shit, like just that alone is worth all of the work that I've put into this. To think that somebody could have just listened to some read or some stupid guy's take of me ranting somewhere and just had some little idea around this thing click so that they protected themselves, so that they bought that insurance right before the contract, right before a claim was needed to be filed. Like that literally would save a life in those countries. Like, not even, like, sort of. Like, it really, truly could. Like, this isn't small potatoes. Like, we're not pontificating about how great things could be. This is something that helps protect you right now. And the risk is growing. The risk continues to grow. But one of the most fascinating things, like, I go back to the example I brought up with Lehman Brothers, is that what if Lehman Brothers goes out of business? What if your fiat currency goes out of business? What if Bear Stearns goes out of business? This is one of the craziest things about Bitcoin in the context of insurance against our financial structure. There's no counterparty risk. There's no counterparty. It is its own system and its own currency, and it's got no monetary masters and it's got no institution. A CDS, by definition, has counterparty risk. You're requiring someone else to pay you. And if they aren't there to pay the bill, your CDS isn't worth shit. Doesn't matter how right you were. Maybe AIG still owes you $2 billion. Doesn't mean you have $2 billion. AIG doesn't exist, yo. Bitcoin has no counterparty. It simply has proof of solvency and proof that it cannot be tied to, it will not fall with the fiat structure. It has its own, it is external. And that is monumentally valuable. I think Greg Foss obviously knows this. He says the biggest asymmetric bet of his life. But $1.3 to $1.9 trillion, that is small freaking potatoes. That is nothing. We are just getting started. Bitcoin has only just begun. And I hope you have a little bit of insurance. Don't forget to stack it with Swan Bitcoin. Stack on everything with Fold. Keep that shit safe in your BitBox. And come hang out with me at Bitcoin 2022. Find all this great stuff and the discounts and the goodies and everything on guysswan.com. I have them up at the top of the page. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Bitcoin Audible. I love you all. I'll catch you tomorrow with another episode. And until then, everybody, take it easy, guys. This has been Bitcoin Audible, a 111 production.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.